Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text Number 12. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhavam varjitam.
Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhavam varjitam.
Nushobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Kutakpanak shashvad abhadram ishvare.
Kutakpanak shashvad abhadram ishvare.
Nacharpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhavam bharjitam. Nushobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Kutak panak shashvada bhadram ishvare. Na charpitam karma yad apyakaranam. Nice karmyam. Self-realization. Being freed from the reactions of fruitive work. Api. In spite of. Achyuta. The infallible Lord. Bhava. Conception. Varjitam. Devoid of. Na. Does not. Shobhate. Look well. Jnanam. Transcendental knowledge. Alam. By and by. Niranjanam. Free from designations. Kutaha. Where is? Punaha. Again. Shashvat. Always. Abhadram. Uncongenial. Ishare. Unto the Lord. Na. Not. Cha. And. Arpitam. Offered. Karma. Fruitive work. Yat api. What is? Akaranam. Not fruitive. Translation. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Report by Srila Prabhupada. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculations on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful, whether in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when it is made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord, otherwise it will lead to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of The fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus when it is engaged with the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. The verse again, Naishkarmyam apiyachuta bhavam varjitam nashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam kutak panak shashvad abhadram ishvare nacharpitam karmayad apyakaranam. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well. That's a nice way of saying it. Does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized in the devotional service of the Lord? This section of the Bhagavatam is Narada instructing Vyas. What he's instructing him about is both why his feeling of despondency is there and the remedy. Vyasadeva, the drama is very nice. Vyasadeva, his gift, his empowerment, is that he's a literary person. So each person has some gift, something from Krishna. And Vyas is the compiler of the Vedas. That literary gift is not, you know, just to be a corresponding reporter for New York Times or something. He's an empowered incarnation of the Lord, empowered to take the Vedic wisdom and make it accessible for people in the age of Kali. And going back into the previous chapter, actually, he began the process by contemplating, because he's a... he's capable of seeing past, present, and future. And when he looked into the future, oh boy, very difficult. And so, wanting to do something, he turned to that gift that he was given by God, which is, in his case, he was a literary person. So he took the Vedas and divided them into corollary literatures and Fifth Veda, and still felt despondent. So the second verse of this fifth chapter, Narada, having visited Vyas, gives him the clue. That the clue is what of his despondency was identifying the body and or the mind as the object of self-realization. Are you not satisfied giving the position of body and mind as the object of self-realization? Prabhupada's comment here and elsewhere in this first canto, the predicament of the living entity, the living entity's problem. One way to describe that problem is too much affinity for matter. And the same is being identified here also. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity. Material affinity. Material affinity indicates a desire to enjoy matter. An attraction. Affinity means attraction, but it's of a particular kind. Attraction in the spirit of enjoyment. Too much. Not like, a little bit is okay, Prabhu. In moderation, a little bit is okay. It is painful, even the little bit is painful. In the beginning, in the middle, and the end. It's ignorance. It's happiness in the mode of ignorance. It's painful in the beginning, painful in the middle, and painful in the end. That's happiness in the mode of ignorance. Fruitive activity in the beginning looks very nice. In the end, it's miserable. But actually, even in the beginning, it's miserable. What people do for fruitive activities in this world, it's miserable. So in compiling the section just preceding this text 12 is Narada not just being gentle and hinting at what the root of the problem is, he hammers it. And the flip side of fruitive activity, or the panacea for fruitive activity, and that propensity for fruitive activity, is glorification of the Lord. You've not done that sufficiently. Now, in the other parts of the Vedas, glorification of the Lord is there, but it's either indirect, as in the Upanishadic portion of the Vedas, where the Lord is indicated by a pronoun, Saha. So what's that? Well, it's romper room for people that like to speculate. It's whatever they want it to mean. And they want it to mean so many things, and so their renderings are so many things. But the absolute truth as a person is also identified. One of the favorite quotes from the Upanishads that Prabhupada liked to speak about, where the personality of Godhead is indicated, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman, or Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate Sobhaviki Gyana Balakriyacha. Amongst many eternals, there's one supreme eternal. Amongst conscious beings, there's one supremely conscious being, and that one is maintaining all others. So, the personality of Godhead is indicated, but indirectly. Or in the Puranic portion of the literatures, of the Vedic literatures, the fifth Veda, the personality of Godhead is also indicated, but not sufficiently, according to the prognosis of Narada. And that's the cause of your despondency. And if you're feeling despondent, what to speak of your readers? Vyas? You've done this for the sake of your readers, because you're a liberated soul. You're not doing this for yourself. You're doing it for them. And they already have too much affinity for matter. And you're indicating, in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, you're indicating the means by which that material affinity can be satisfied while elevated at the same time. Elevated to the qualities of the modes of nature, up to the quality of goodness. And then from that quality of goodness, you've written that portion of the Vedas that's the Jnana Kanda section. But that Jnana, what is that self-realization? The phrase that's used in an earlier verse is Atmavan, situated in the self, or situated in self-realization. What's Atmavan minus God? Minus glorification, where the propensity for glorification of God is absent, as in the impersonalists. They're not interested in glorification of God. They're interested in liberation, release from the bondage of material existence. and being situated in that sense of self beyond the material conception. For that, even if it's beyond the material conception, that's what the verse is saying here, even though free from all material affinity. So going back to what Vyasa indicated as the problem, or excuse me, Narada indicated as the problem, too much material affinity, even if it's beyond all material affinity, as in the case of a liberated soul, as in the case of Vyasa. Now he's playing the role of somebody that is like us, or potentially like us, that is potentially a liberated soul, or one who's fixed in knowledge of Brahman beyond material affinity, even if that can be achieved. Nashobhate. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look well. If achuta bhava varjitam, achuta is Krishna, the infallible Lord. Bhava in this case means conception, the conception of achuta. Varjitam is absent, or that state of self-realization that's naishkarmyam, free from material affinity, that is no material affinity, no fruitive activities, that's naishkarmya. That phrase is used in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. Naishkarmya, or nishkam karma is another naishkarmya. No fruitive intention. Doing work with no fruitive intention. Who does that in this world? The answer is nobody. People engage in activity because they have some intention, fruitive intention. I want, and fill in the blank. And so they do something to get I want. What is that work that's done without fruitive intention? Well, it's in Bhagavad Gita. It's spoken about in Bhagavad Gita, and there aren't people doing it, although they know the sloka. Karmanyevadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana. You're entitled to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruit of work. Very popular verse from Bhagavad Gita. Many people, if you ask a common audience, what's the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, they'll point to that one. You ask an ISKCON person, and it's Sarvadharmam Paritjamamekam Sharanam Vraja. You ask other people, it's that one. You're entitled to perform your duty, you're not entitled to the fruit. But who lives that way? It's only those persons that go to that 1866 can live that way. And that's if they actually live that way, not just also recite the verse. Achyuta bhavam varjitam naishkarmyam api. So even though one may be engaged in self-realization, situated in self-realization, free from affinity for matter, if there is such a person, but their achyuta bhava varjitam, it's devoid, their life is devoid of a conception of the Supreme Person who is in that non-fruitive realm or the absolute realm, nashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Prabhupada liked, I think he named two disciples Niranjana. There's Niranjana Swami, there's another Niranjana. He liked that name. So Niranjanam is free from all designations. Our more Arupa Goswami term, or from Narada Pancharatra, he quotes this Rupa Goswami quotes this from Narada Pancharatra. The definition of bhakti is where one is freed from material designations. Upadi, sarva upadi vinirmuktam, tat paratvena nirmalam, rishikena rishikesha sevanam, bhaktir uchite. So, sarva upadi vinirmuktam. Upadi is designations. One who is free from all designations. So this word, niranjanam. Niranjanam is referring to that self-realized soul that has, here's how it works. It's very simple. The my conception is connected to the I conception. Whoever I think I am, what's ever in relation to me is mine. Very simple. And if I am this body, what's in relation to me is the fruit of what comes from this body. Like my work, and therefore my paycheck. And what the paycheck buys is my stuff. And then there's also my family, and my children, and my relatives, and the my conception is connected to the I conception. So, niranjanam is without material conception, and naishkarmyam is without fruit of sense of mine. So if you don't have the sense of I am this body or the sense of fruit of activity, that's like material life is finished. Or, you know, you're nowhere. Like literally, you're a nobody. You're shunya. You're zero. And that's how the impersonalists take transcendental life. Shunya. Or maybe it's just its brother is nirvishesh. Impersonal. Or zero. Take it, you know, this brother or that brother. Impersonal or zero. I have no material desire and I don't think that I'm this body. And I'm just floating around. I'm twinkling. I'm a star twinkling in the sky. That state, the verse is saying, that state devoid of a conception of achyuta, of Krishna, na shobhate, doesn't look well. And Vyasa has promoted that, apparently at least. Apparently because Vyasa knows better, but the reader doesn't. And so the reader takes it, that's what you're supposed to do, just twinkle. Just exist as Brahman in a neutral state. So then, that's the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas. And then, what to speak of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas? Kuta. So, what to speak of? Punakshashvad Abhadram Ishvare. Abhadram Ishvare. We know what Bhadra and Abhadra. Auspicious and inauspicious. So Prabhupada has translated Abhadram as incongenial. Like uncomfortable. For the unto the Lord. It's not only we're uncomfortable, the Lord is uncomfortable. If he sees his part and parcel living entity simply in a greedy, selfish, self-centered manner, simply engaged in fruitive activities, trying to bring happiness to themselves, devoid of a conception of the Supreme, it's abhadram ishvare. It's uncongenial unto the Lord. That's a gentle way of saying they're heading in the wrong direction. It's disturbing to the Lord. It's displeasing to the Lord. Hutakpana shashvat abhadram ishvare na charpitam karma yad api akaranam. Then what what then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning, and transient by nature, if they are not utilized? This is arpitam. Arpitam means offering or worship. If they're not offered in an expression of worship unto the Supreme Person, if it's devoid of a conception of the Supreme and the offering of those activities unto the Supreme, that's just like karma yoga. It's not full devotion yet. It's just detaching oneself from the fruit of work. The bondage from the fruit of the work in the sense of aspiring for liberation. Not in attachment to the Supreme, just like getting rid of the reaction of fruitive work. The maturing stage of that is attachment to the Supreme and doing everything in devotion to the Supreme. Then these other detachment from worldly spirit, understanding of the self devoid of a material conception and material affinity, it's a subset. But if either of those, jnana or karma, are devoid of a conception of the Supreme, Vyas, what have you done? So Prabhupada is speaking in the purport. From previous discussion, long discussion Prabhupada had about other literature, meaning non-Vedic literature, just like, literature that people in general are attracted to. And Narada is not very complimentary about that literature. Rubbish literature that's pilgrimage for the crows. Mr. Crow is perched on the edge of the garbage dump and looking at the reading material inside. Oh, there's a nice magazine, a nice newspaper. Minus the spectacles, that's what they're eating. They're looking for something to eat, but there's, something to read too. What is there? Prabhupada's comment is that scripture, at least for cultured people, are not going to trash scripture, but newspapers, magazines, and all their other reading material, they just trash it, and it goes in with the trash, the rubbish bin. And the crows are attracted to the rubbish pile, picking through to find something delectable. But the swans have no, you don't find swans at rubbish bins, and you don't find crows in nice peaceful lakes with lotus flowers, and they're over in the rubbish bin. So the swan-like literature is specifically where the glorification of the Supreme Lord is there. So now that's important and appropriate that this text 12 comes just after the text 11 verse is the verse that Prabhupada places in the preface of every volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every volume of Srimad Bhagavatam is the previous verse, where Narada is specifically instructing Vyas, compose this literature that's meant for bringing about a revolution. Prabhupada was a revolutionary, and Narada was a revolutionary, a spiritual revolutionary. They weren't terrorists. Spiritual revolutionary, with the aim of changing the imbalance of values in the lives of people of the age of Kali by janata agaviplava, just putting a stick of dynamite under the sinful tendencies of a living being by propagating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, just obliterating that bondage and affinity for matter that comes out in the form of sinful activities unavoidably. Just one other comment is that when Rupa Goswami, we have this verse that comes at the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, Nana Shastra Vachara Naika Nipunosa Dharma Sangstapako Lokanam Hitakarinam Jibuvane. The six Goswamis were very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures. And from those revealed scriptures, they brought the cream. And the writings of Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction, it's the cream. So where does the cream come from? It comes from verses like this one. Because Rupa Goswami's whole Nectar of Devotion is supported on one essential message, that his devotional service is devoid of karma and gyan. What's the verse? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. Anya abhilash zippo jnana karma jnavritam. That's what this verse is saying. That's what this section of the Bhagavatam is saying. That's what Narada is instructing Vyas. Oh, my dear Vyas, oh, compiler of the Vedas, you need to compose one literature that's devoid of karma and jnana. And how do you accomplish that? Simply glorify the personality of Godhead. You can describe all types of things. Simply describe the personality of Godhead. Glorify the Supreme Lord's name, His fame, His qualities, His pastimes, His form, His devotees, His loving exchanges with His devotees. One literature that just does that. And that's literature then in our lives. We may or may not be literary people, but we have lives. And in our lives, simply glorify the personality of Godhead in His name, fame, qualities, in all the activities that one does. Somehow, accomplish that. That's the message of Rupa Goswami. That's how one should lead one's life. That's, you know, the essence of the operating manual for this human body. With every little electronic device, you get a little operator's manual. So that's our operator's manual for this machine, the human machine. Everything dedicated to the personality of Godhead in His glorification. And minus that, na shobhate, or abhadram ishvare. These phrases. One last point is that this message that we're discussing, this jnana karma jnavritam, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were discussing a little bit about Bhaktivinoda Thakur yesterday evening, when reviewing Godrum Dweep. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicates in Navadweep Dham Mahatmya that in Navadweep, even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, several centuries before he appeared, he Nimbarkacharya visited Navadweep, and he was so moved by the beauty and serenity and transcendental sense of Navadvipa, that he stayed for some time and engaged in intense devotional service, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to him. And Lord Chaitanya, when he appeared, he explained to Nimbarkacharya that very soon I will appear in this very place, in Navadvipa, in my form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during my life, during my pastimes, I will present teachings. And because I'm so pleased by you and each of the other four Sampradaya Acharyas, I will take two teachings from each of the four Sampradayas and present them to the world. So this teaching of devotion that's devoid of karma and gyan was propagated very strongly by Ramanujacharya. Devotion should be pure. Pure means no fruitive activity, nor not rendering your service with a fruitive intention towards Krishna. Or this abhadram ishvare, not pleasing to the personality of Godhead. What's pleasing, fully pleasing, it's just offering service and love. Turn it the other way around. What if, you know, Krishna made a deal with us? I'll take care of you provided you do such and such. Let me know. There's the contract. You can sign it if you like. Krishna's not like that. It wouldn't be... It's not attractive. Make a contract with God. So, and speculative knowledge. I know some people that are not devotees, I know some people that are devotees. That tendency for speculation is indomitable. Put them in contact with, you know, a doorknob, and they're speculating. It's like, can't help it. But bhakti is devoid of that tendency. And the teaching of the Bhagavatam is that, the teaching of Rupa Goswami is that, because that's the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, and he's attributing that's also the teaching of Ramanujacharya. And it's the teaching of the scriptures, the sattvic scriptures. The understanding of the message of the Bhagavatam is not by being smart and figuring it out. Like you're in high school and you have to figure out, you know, some math question or a science question or a something question. Or technology question. How do you put this together with that and make it into one thing? It's not that kind of intelligence. It's a receptive intelligence receiving transcendental knowledge in a descending fashion. That's the capacity for understanding transcendental knowledge. And Bhagavatam wants us to be very clear about it. Even if, this verse is so nice, even if your capacity of speculative knowledge takes you to the realm of self-realization where there's no fruitive activity, no affinity for matter, you're like way, way gone. But without a conception of the personality of Godhead, no good. No shobhate. So whether it's the portions of the Vedas that appear to be like that, or other writings expounding on that portion of the Vedic literature, or our own way of living our life, it's not the way of achieving the state of satisfaction or proper utilization of the human form of life. Important message. This message, what's going on in this section, it's the Narada instructing Vyas about what Srimad Bhagavatam is, but what that means is it's Narada instructing Vyas on what the essence of life is, because the Vedas are simply disclosing that, and he's giving him the instruction. Here's what it is. Now write a literature that does that. Very important. So if we understand this, we can understand the whole rest of the Bhagavatam. The rest of the Bhagavatam is just beautiful. Exposition of this. Any comments or questions? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, the way I'm understanding the statement that even if these activities take you beyond material perception, the way I'm understanding it is that it actually can't without contact with the Supreme Lord. But even if it does, you know, it's not.
Well, there is a state of neutrality. The state of neutrality, is incomplete. It's like Prabhupada's example of this is send a spaceship into space and to overcome the gravity of Earth, this tense force is needed, and okay, now it's off in space floating around. But how long can you stay floating around? After some time, if you don't take shelter somewhere where it's natural for you to be, in course of time, you have to come back. So there is a state of neutrality. There are two types of transcendentalists. But it's incomplete. There's no, without shelter, it's incomplete, and without shelter and incomplete, one must come back. Yinyaravindakshavimuktamaninastroyastabhavadavashuddhabuddhaya. So, avashuddhabuddhi, one's intelligence is not yet fully purified, but purified to the point where there's no material affinity, that's possible, but not to the point where, you know, what isn't is understood, but what is not understood. Or even the conception of Brahman is incomplete, because what's Brahman without Parabrahman? What's Jyoti without the source of that Jyoti? What you said, can also be stated. There are times when Prabhupada states very much like what you stated. When we read Prabhupada saying, there's no question of self-realization without God-realization, or there's no question of being without material affinity, without a conception of the Supreme, it means, you know, the fullness, it's the incompleteness is being described. The fullness is not present, and fullness is the real thing, and therefore not without material affinity. Or what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. Kama, if one has a desire for sense gratification, liberation, or mystic siddhis, having such desires agitate the mind, and the mind is not peaceful. But that's in our position, aspiring for those things. There is a state of, like Sukadeva Goswami, before he heard the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he was in Brahman state, Brahman realized state, or the four Kumaras, before they came to the gates of Vaikuntha. There is a new state of neutrality. There's one of the important verses in the fifth canto where Rishabhdev is instructing his sons headed by Bharat Maharaj. Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahur Vimuktes. Mahat Sevam is rendering service unto the Mahats. So Prabhupada in the purport says it several times. There, Mahat means a transcendentalist, and there's two categories of transcendentalists. He doesn't say there's one, he says there's two. Those that are impersonal, realized transcendentalists, and those that are devotional, realized transcendentalists. Two categories of transcendentalists. And rendering service, Mahat Sevam Dvaram Ahur Vimuktes, rendering service unto either of the two, is the gateway into the realm of transcendence. But one is incomplete. You can be send the rocket ship up into space. No gravitational pull. But besides, we need oxygen, you're going to run out. There are needs for our sustaining our human life, therefore one must come back. But our nature is that we are in relationship with the personality of God in a loving service mood. That's our nature. And unless and until that is fulfilled, there will be this dissatisfaction. That's what's being said. So it's insufficient. There's that pinch in the heart. That the discerning person, the honest person, rather than the self-deceptive person, the honest person will say, there's something missing. So that's, Vyasa is playing that role for us. Something's missing. And Narada is telling him, what's that something that's missing? So incomplete. Anything else?
Maharaj, I couldn't understand that state of neutrality.
State of neutrality. Well, you don't need to. We're not aspiring for that one. We want attraction for Krishna. But the state of neutrality is where persons don't know about Krishna. They don't even necessarily want to know about Krishna. But this, aversion to Krishna is something else. Let's say that we give those two examples, the four Kumaras. Before they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, they were in that state of neutrality. They were Brahman realized. They weren't rebellious towards the personality of Godhead. But they weren't attracted to the personality of Godhead. They didn't know anything about the personality of Godhead. They were just Brahman realized. They weren't attracted to material enjoyment. They weren't repulsed by material energy. They were in a neutral state. Nashochati nakangsati. You know that from Bhagavad Gita? Neither attraction nor repulsion. Neutral state. Go ahead.
So now if we want to do our duties and our day-to-day life materially or also spiritually, so what is our state should be like? Should be a neutral state?
Our state should be attraction to Krishna. And to see all things in relation to Krishna who one is attracted to. Like, you know, that darling daughter of yours seated right in front of you. It's not neutral. I'll just be neutral. You can exist or not exist. It's okay. We're not neutral. We're attracted to that. We're in the were you to become a pure devotee of the Lord on the platform that's being described here, you would see, here's a spirit soul. Krishna's part and parcel, and I'm Krishna's devotee. Here's Krishna's part and parcel. And Krishna's entrusted me with this service. So I'm attached to Krishna's service. And therefore all the, you know, not only the spiritual well-being, but all types of well-being. But not out of attachment because this child has come from my body, my activity, my work, and so on. But with attachment to Krishna. And then so on to everything else.
And so while doing our duties, usually we have to be in a mixed state of more like compassion.
No, we don't. We don't have to be. Why do you say that?
Because if you say just to do our duties, we need some kind of passion.
No, to do your duty, you need attachment to Krishna. To do your duty in the liberated state, you need attachment to Krishna. And one who is attached to Krishna isn't lazy. What's the impetus for work is attachment to Krishna. It's one thing to be engaged. Tosan Krishna, one of my god brothers, described it this way. It's one thing to be engaged by the mode of passion. It's another thing to engage the material energy. Like Hanuman. We take it away from ourselves and look at someone who's unquestionably transcendental. Hanuman is unquestionably transcendental. When he wasn't called upon, who can leap across the ocean? Hanuman was just off in the background. When Jambavan started describing, Hanuman, you can do it. In service, he was ready to do it. But, you know, it's in service. He was able to engage all types of ability and strength. And you're using the word passion. But, you know, it's service. He was enthusiastic for service to Ram, and otherwise it's neutral. In service to Ram, it looks like passion, but it's not passion. It's different. It's a different energy. It's the internal energy. Looks like passion. Look what he did. He burned the whole city of Lanka. But it wasn't out of anger. Oh, they burned my tail. I'll show them. He wasn't even feeling pain. His tail didn't even feel a thing. And he recognized that this is Sita, must have offered some prayer. So I don't even feel any pain as I'm burning the city of Lanka. You know, standing on the wall and roaring Ram will come and smash you all.
I always have a question of why Hanuman burned that city, because if he is really all the time in the world of goodness,
the action... He wanted to strike fear into the hearts of the residents of Lanka. If this is what one monkey can do, what to speak of the master of that one monkey? So victory would be assured. They would be in this, although they're invincible warriors, previously invincible warriors. It was deliberate. That was his purpose.
But it will destroy all other peoples also. I mean, it will kill all other...
The whole battle was going to kill a lot of people. Because they were supportive of that king, they were responsible. They didn't have to be supportive of that king. They were supportive of that king. They bear the responsibility of the actions of that king. Vibhishan decided otherwise, but they stayed with him. They're responsible. Let's get back to the earlier question. That, you know, because what you want to know about how you do your day-to-day life is, I mean, the other is it's important and it's nice, but day-to-day, transcendental, the state of neutrality is not, I don't care and I feel nothing. But the state of transcendence isn't, I'm engaging, you know, I'm getting passionate about something. Because when you're passionate about something, you're attached. It doesn't go the way that you expect it to go. You're angry. And you suffer. You suffer the passion, you suffer the anger. And that's not a transcendentalist. The fact is that if one is in contact with the mode of passion, one is controlled by the material energy. And a transcendentalist isn't controlled by the material energy. So it's not in order to get things done, we have to be in passion. We have to be attached to Krishna. We engage in our prescribed duty, we depend upon Krishna for the outcome. That's the transcendentalist. What is it that we're enthusiastic for, or you say passionate for? It's to serve Krishna. At least try to serve Krishna. Then it's not exhausting. It's invigorating. And otherwise, we'll go back to Hanuman. Otherwise, Hanuman would, using our ISKCON vernacular, he would have been fried. He went and looked for Sita. He flew all that distance, overcame this, that, the other obstacle, got there and couldn't find Sita. Oh, he was contemplating, how can I go back and see Ram? Better I just live here and... I can't go back and see Ram. No, I must find Sita. Took courage. I must. And then there was Sita. Unswerving determination. Chanakya Pandit has a saying that at the time of cosmic annihilation, the mountains may tremble. And at the time of cosmic annihilation, the seas may have waves and waves that disturb everything, but the mind of the transcendentalist, because of his fixed determination, doesn't change. That's the neutrality part, but it's not passion, it's service. Indomitable determination to carry out some service that's been assigned. That's in the internal potency. It's not the mode of passion. Distinction, once again, is that the mode of passion, it's fruitive. And if I don't get the fruit, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And if I get the fruit, I'm gloating about how, oh boy, I did it. Illusion and illusion. And transcendental inspiration is devoid of illusion. I'm this little spark meant to serve Krishna. Krishna's given me some service. I'm enthusiastic to serve Krishna, but not mode of passion. Work on it. It's a lifelong project. Your question.
I wanted to share that.
It's 9 o'clock. This is our last question.
It's also going to the Atmarama verse, and to be able to do pure devotional service, Purvanti, Ahayatukim, Bhakti, Itam, Mutam, Bhakti, that one has to have that. One is really attracted to qualities of Krishna as I'm describing. And at the same time, we're colored by jnana and karma. And so we see even Krishna, reciprocation from Krishna, as probably colored as karma and jnana. Is that understanding
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, what's going to get us out of there? Well, can you please destroy in my heart this this vision of seeing the spiritual personalities of Krishna?
I'm working on it.
Thank you.
Prabhupada's teaching is, if we can chant one name of Krishna without offense, all of that's destroyed. All karma and jnana destroyed. All illusion dispelled. Everything, all past reactions to material activities destroyed. Just once. Just once. Potency is there. And all the other things about how to lead our lives so that that can happen, that's also there. But our hearts are very hard, so it's gradual. So that means then continue cultivating and striving in ways that the scripture describes, and the spiritual master helps us understand how to apply. Gaur Premanandi Harivo Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Prabhupada Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.